ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते
Finish the chapter. There's two verses remaining. Text 55 and 56. Conversations between Manu and Kardama. So, towards the very beginning of creation, the Manu, the first of the 14 Manus, Swayambhu Manu is visiting great sage Kardama, deep in a forest. They're offering respects to one another, starting with Kardama, speaking to Manu. So we're getting the picture of the duties of a king, spoken by a brahmana. The previous verse is speaking of by your travel throughout your kingdom, your supporting and giving protection to the pious people, and seeing that everyone is engaged in their prescribed duties, and diminishing the influence of the violators of Dharma. So text 55, if you gave up all thought of the world situation, unrighteousness would flourish, for men who hanker only after money would be unopposed. Such miscreants would attack, and the world would perish. Purport. Because the scientific division of four varnas and four ashramas is now being extinguished, the entire world is being governed by unwanted men who have no training in religion, politics, or social order, and it is in a very deplorable condition. In the institution of four varnas and four ashramas, there are regular training principles for the different classes of men, just as in the modern age there is necessity for engineers, medical practitioners, and electricians, and they are properly trained in different scientific institutions. Similarly, in former times, the higher social orders, namely the intelligent class, the brahmanas, the ruling class, kshatriyas, and the mercantile class, vaishyas, were properly trained in Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita describes the duties of the brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas, and shudras. When there is no such training, one simply claims that because he is born in a brahmana or kshatriya family, he is therefore a brahmana or kshatriya, even though he performs the duties of a shudra. Such undue claims to being a higher caste man make the system of scientific social order into a caste system, completely degrading the original system. Thus society is now in chaos, and there is neither peace nor prosperity. It is clearly stated herein that unless there is the vigilance of a strong king, impious, unqualified men will claim a certain status in society, and that will make the social order perish. Prabhupada had a tough job. I mean, not only elevating consciousness from a dark place to a place of illumination. But the social structure that supports that elevation had become so degraded that the very social structure has been given a bad name, and he had to repeatedly and repeatedly and repeatedly address the bad name notion and bring it to the proper social order notion. It's very difficult. To revive that proper social order requires a strong brahminical presence within society. So that was the first entry point for Prabhupada, to create, in his words, a group of first class men. Challenging to do that out of degradation or the muck hole of Kali Yuga. Very, very difficult. But without brahmanas, without first class men to guide the rest of society, society goes down. Or say it the other way. The Kali Yuga kickoff point was the brahmana, the son of Shamakrishi, Shringi, misusing brahminical power because of the lack of character, of knowing how to use that something, that power. And when the brahmana class goes down, everything goes down. Converse, as the brahmana class becomes truly qualified, then there's possibility for things to become elevated. So in the brahmana class has certain characteristics, like Prabhupada is saying in the purport. Each of them have certain characteristics. Sama dhamakta pakshocham chantir arjavam evasham gyanam vijnanam astikam. So through his purports, Prabhupada is training us in the jnana and then encouraging the vijnana, the application of jnana, something that you know theoretically. For society in general to be properly organized, there must be a social structure. One of the discussions that Prabhupada had with Professor Katovsky in Moscow, as you say, classless society. Communism says classless society. But as I move around Moscow, I see there's a lady sweeping the street, and there's a man coming in the limousine to the Kremlin. And then you're sitting in a professor's position. I see divisions of labor. And the reason it's there, although you're professing classless society, is Mayashrishtam. It's created by Krishna. So whether you acknowledge it or don't acknowledge it, it's created by Krishna. The visions of society are there because they're created by Krishna. It's natural. And as it's natural, then one needs to understand how to apply oneself according to social position, how the professor Katovsky's, how the intellectuals should conduct their lives. So training by a qualified brahmana is required to create qualified brahmanas. The Prabhupada, through his writings, is taking that position. He has those qualities, and he's, through his writings, training others how to have those qualities. Because the brahmana needs to understand, or in our case, Vaishnava needs to understand Krishna's intention, and you know what's what, how society. Not just how their particular duties, but how others' duties are to be structured. Just going back to something that I spoke about last night, that there's a long purport by Bhaktisiddhanta about worldly activities and reactivities of the body, activities of the mind, and social activity. And everyone has them, because we have a body, we have a mind, and we have social needs. So a social structure is not unimportant. The presentation that I'm making at universities this semester so far has been, the title is Authenticity of Individuality Beyond the Conformity Game. Ultimate I. So, part of that presentation is a little one slide that takes a quote from Karl Marx, where he says that an individual is nothing more than the quote social relations that make up the individual. We define by the company we keep, or the social milieu of the time, identifies or shapes individuality. Man is a product of his time. There's so many ways of saying the same thing. We're a product of our own conditioning. So, social relations, especially as long as there's the bodily conception of life, social relations is a very defining item. Sangat Sanjayate Kama, in the language of Bhagavad Gita. According to the association we keep, we develop desire. And with desire, the way that we live our lives. Like, just to drive up here, lots of people out, nice fall morning, running around the lake and riding bicycles and taking photographs, and people with their big picture windows overlooking this nice lake. And there's like-minded people doing like-minded things, and over there, there's another group of people doing something else, and over there. So, we, according to the association we keep, it helps define at least behavior, but behavior comes from quality, swabhava. Brahma karma swabhava jam. Kshatriya karma swabhavajam, Vaishya karma swabhavajam, Shudra karma swabhava, our nature, the modes with which we associate determine the qualities that we exhibit. And the behaviors, so we don't need to just modify behaviors, same message as last night. It's where our consciousness is and where we, with whom we associate, strongly affects our consciousness, which then determines our qualities, which then determines our behaviors and what we feel about things, how we view things, how we view the world, through the lens of the social relations. The structure of social relations is important. And aside from the communist view of classless society, there's the Vedic view that there are divisions according to quality, not according to birth, because the degradation is according to birth. It's never said according to birth. It's said according to guna karma. Chatur Varna Maya Srishtam Guna Karma Swabhavajam. So there's Swabhavajam. Guna Karma Swabhavajam. Swabhavajam. So Krishna has created the system. That's why it's in Moscow or anywhere in the world that you go. And he has created their duties prescribed. So it's important to know what our duties are. It's important to know who we are. But those duties are the theistic conduct part, again referring to the message yesterday. The seeking for self-realization is we accept some social role, like I'm a sannyasi, and someone else is a brahmachari, and someone else is a grihastha. And we have roles to play. It's not like who I am, because I'm spirit, soul, part of Krishna, eternally mentor in his service. And given this particular embodiment and social position, then I have a role to play, just like they're doing. Here's Karma Muni, who is receiving Swayambhuvamanu. So Swayambhuvamanu pays his obeisances before the Brahmana, and the Brahmana is giving his blessings. He's giving knowledge. He's playing performing the function of a Brahmana. But both of them are preeminently qualified. They're both very, very elevated personalities, and the Brahmana is recognizing his elevated qualities as the king. You're the representative of God. We discussed this the other day. So social structure has its importance in helping to create the situation that's conducive for a spiritual elevation. It in and of itself isn't spiritual elevation. It's conducive for. And the corruption of that system in the name of birthright, although my behavior may be abominable, and snobbery, looking down one's nose at persons that are in a lesser position than me, you know, the untouchables and all of that mentality. I was attending a program once in Memphis, Tennessee, and there was in the audience, I came to know later, was a Bengali man who was a professor who was a hardcore Mayavadi, and another person in the audience was a caste Brahmana snob. I didn't know that. I was just like sitting there. And someone else led the kirtan, and the snob sat there. As soon as I began to speak, he got up and left. He didn't want to contaminate himself by hearing the words of a whatever he considered me. And as soon as I was done, then he came back and sat down again, took prasadam. And his mood was, you know, really snotty. Anyway, and that's the Brahmana by birth. And here's another one that's not by birth, so I'm not going to sit and, you know, devalue myself by hearing this lower birth person. Completely bodily conscious. And quality-wise, completely devoid of formidable quality. It's not a formidable quality. It's that mentality that made people revolt against the caste Brahmana mentality. And so then, like, get out of bulldozer, just make a level playing field. Everyone's equal. That's the social structure. Everyone's equal. spiritually we're equal, and maturely we're different. Somebody's stronger and somebody's weaker. Somebody can dance, somebody can't. Somebody can sing, somebody can't. Somebody can, you know, do different things and other people can't. We have the opportunity, we're an equal opportunity organization, Hare Krishna Movement, to achieve Krishna consciousness. And we do so within the context of what is appropriate for us, for our own natural spiritual elevation due to our nature, and respecting others that may be different than us. One of the essential elements that Prabhupada speaks of success of Varnashram system is that the arms respect the legs. Why, I need these legs. They get me from here to there. Now, like, oh, you're a leg. And I'm an arm. But the respect of the different elements within one, because God has created them, and two, they're essential for the functioning of the entire social body. So one respects. And when respect breaks down, social fabric breaks down. Prabhupada would speak about those who kept, like a servant of some kind, a housemaid or a chauffeur or, like, you know, something like that. They're treated like family. Not treated like I'm up here, you're down there. They're treated like family. And they be intimately associated with the family. Like family. Although it's just like having legs and having arms and having a head. It's part of the social body. The different but each different elements each need to know what their duties are socially. And the purpose of that is the higher principle. He just stays on the level of the body and different bodily functions. It's not going to serve the elevating purpose, and that means it's going to be in time, either quick time or longer time, it'll become degraded and very, very displeasing for all participants in that system. So then it gets tossed, and so now we're all equal. Or whatever the other system is that comes in place. So duty of the king is to uphold. And the absence of that, but the second part of the message is consistent everywhere, is that people that are greedy, people that are money hungry, people that are criminal like, you know, they'll flourish. They'll come out of in the condition of darkness, they come out at night and do their thing and cause disruption, and people go, oh. But that's because the administrator has a very, very, very important role for everyone, for the brahmanas as well, and the vaishyas and shudras as well. When there's the absence of this, unqualified men will claim a certain status in society, and that will make the social order perish. Last verse. In spite of all this, I ask you, O valiant king, the purpose for which you have come here, whatever it may be, we shall carry it out without reservation. Blank check. Already signed. Fill it in, whatever you want. Yes. I don't know why you came here. He knows why you came. Whatever the reason is that you've come, the answer is yes. Before you even ask it. No, please ask it. A pretty nice welcome mat. Purport. When a guest comes to a friend's house, it is understood that there is some special purpose. Karma Muni could understand that such a great king as Swayambhuva, although traveling to inspect the condition of his kingdom, must have had some special purpose to come to his hermitage. Thus, He prepared himself to fulfill the king's desire. Formerly, it was customary that the sages used to go to the kings, and the kings used to visit the sages in their hermitages. Each was glad to fulfill the other's purpose. This reciprocal relationship is called Bhakti Karya. I'm going to spend some time speaking about that term. There is a nice verse describing the relationship of mutual beneficial interest between the Brahmana and the Kshatriya. Kshatram divijatvam. Kshatram means the royal order, and divijatvam means the Brahminical order. The two were meant for mutual interest. The royal order would give protection to the Brahmanas for the cultivation of spiritual advancement in society, and the Brahmanas would give their valuable instruction to the royal order on how the state and citizens can gradually be elevated in spiritual perfection. Secularism destroys all this. Separation of church and state, the proper, and impurity and purpose also destroys this very valuable social, it's not just a nuance, it's a social necessity. In the Kali Yuga degradation, you know, it's like it's real easy to complain. So, in the Kali Yuga degradation, both Rabindranath Prabhu and Sariputta, when Sariputta was alive, it was wonderful associating with him, and it was also wonderful being part of a discussion between Rabindranath Prabhu and Sariputta Prabhu, because they're both so brilliant. And both of them had a fascination in European history to understand how both science and ideas, Rabindranath is a philosopher, and you know how we live today, at least you know in America, and America is influencing in different you know bad ways the rest of the world, how it got to where it is, because Vedic culture, Parashuram drove the kings, the unqualified kings out, and they went here and there. There's a nice purport where Prabhupada describes, you know, Turkey and Europe and China and, you know, different places. It came from that driving, Parashuram's driving unqualified kings. And so we find things like, you know, archaeological diggings, finding you know form of Vishnu somewhere in the upper parts of Russia. You've heard these kinds of things, and, you know, and all kinds of things, and language and etymology and cosmology, and you know vestiges of a one vision around the world existing, one rulership, but. Kali Yuga progress, so now we have kings, and there's naturally there's intellectuals the intellectuals, the priests, because the previously those that were intellectual were priests. It wasn't like universities; it was priests. That's what you did when you were intellectual. But anyway, without all the flow of details. The degradation, the Kali Yuga advancement factor had many, many sequential divisions where the kings, the powerful ruling kings, saw the advantage to maintain their rulership if they buddied up with the priestly people. Because the priestly people could help people stay in order, it would make their ruling easier. And the people that were the priestly people saw some advantage of buddying up with the kings, because then they would be protected in their position as religious people. So one helped the other for ruling, or and even in military conquest. But when the priestly class, same sequence, the priestly class became corrupted, people lost faith in the priestly class, and they went from, you know, the see the Western version, the Christian version, where there's the Pope, there was only, you know, the Catholic Church was it. But when the priestly class became corrupt, then Protestantism, they loathed the idea, some priests in the Catholic Church loathed the idea of selling indulgences. You've heard that term before? Indulgences? Someone has done a sin. They go to the priest to confess their sin. The priest receives some money, and now they're relieved of their sin. Selling indulgences. Without the real repentance, just like a business. And there are persons, I believe it was right here in Minneapolis, one time was taken, because is there a college, Wesleyan College? Wesleyan?
Wesleyan is in Indiana.
Indiana?
Yeah.
There's some place here where I was invited to go and was told the history behind the person who was the founder of a particular Protestant religion, and that was the issue. Maybe there were others that had the same. But they were priests, and they saw this going on in the church, and they were disgusted. They weren't interested in the well-being of the people, they're interested in getting money from the people. And not necessarily encouraging them to refrain from sinful activities, just, you know, keep paying us for indulgences and continue sinful activities. It's a good deal. They were disgusted and went separately and formed their own. So now we have Protestant religion where the priests aren't, you know, they're not. And then the kings became corrupted, so we don't want kings anymore. We want elect people. And gradually, you know, the power moves from the goodness, qualified goodness, and qualified kings to unqualified people. And so on. In the realm of the intellectuals and the whole thing of science, and all of that can be traced from the degradation of the people without having real qualification. So it goes back to the social structure has its purpose, and it needs to be properly understood and properly applied. Jnana vijnanam. The brahminical function needs to be present and strong. So when things, that's how things don't work. When things work, there's a qualified and a qualified kshatriya and brahmana, and between the two, it's not just mutual admiration society. I like you, you like me, I'm okay, you're okay. It's genuine respect for a genuine qualification. That's when things are in proper order. Because both are needed. A brahminical function is needed. A kshatriya function is needed. I'll just give some practical examples. Someone who is a preacher, they're disgusted with other friends, devotees who are preachers. Such qualified preachers often get invited to go to, you know, Timbuktu, where there's no structure. I'll just put it this way: I like to go to places for college preaching, not where it's just a new place, and just if something happens and there's no follow up, but where there's a good person and supporting that good person, the administrator, or whatever, and a gathering, some people come forward, we meet new people, and then those new people that are interested are placed under someone that's going to maintain that contact. It's natural. Satchinandan Swami was describing to me, he was invited to go to Spain because we're really struggling over here, you're such a good preacher, can you come and help us develop things? And, you know, he didn't give them a yes. He didn't exactly say no because he's polite, but, you know, he's sharing with me. If I go there and spend substantial time, what's going to happen with that? Where's the fruit of that going to go? Unless there's administration to support it and maintain it. Administration is needed. But the administrators then need the qualified preacher to come and ensure standards and you know, give teachings and enliven towards to strive for the goal. And then the manager can help do what he does best. The two work very well together. One without the other is quite inadequate. Sometimes you find people that are very capable of both arenas. But divisions of society where someone is by nature very strong rabbinically, someone by nature is very strong administratively, when there's proper respect, that's this bhakti karya phrase, this is the Vedic system, we're seeing it, that the qualified brahmana is speaking to the qualified king, offering, I have such respect for you. Whatever it is, the answer is yes. And the reply is coming in the next chapter in this. Before I say why I've come here, my respect for you is this. And it's not just flattery. It's their honest regard for the merit and the essential component in a well-functioning social structure is needed to have a qualified person and a qualified person performing different roles. We could add, you know, there must be somebody doing the production. Everyone's going to die if there isn't production of food and commerce. And the laborers to assist. But special importance is going to these two consistently because of the importance of the impact of what they do that has on not just other human forms of life, but life. Life of all the species. If based on the quality of the brahmana and the quality of the kshatriya. And when they're qualified and they have proper regard for one another in a real sense, meaning in terms of practical activity as well as genuine regard, not mistrust, not of all of that other unpleasant stuff. Genuine regard for one another. Just read the sentence again, it's nice. And formerly it was customary that the sages used to go to the kings, and the kings used to visit the sages in their hermitages. Each was glad to fulfill the other's purpose. This reciprocal relationship is called bhakti karya. There is a nice verse describing the relationship of mutual beneficial interest between the brahmana and kshatriya. Kshatrams, divijitvam. The two were meant for mutual interest. The royal order would give protection to the brahmanas for the cultivation of spiritual advancement in society, and the brahmanas would give their valuable instruction to the royal order on how the state and the citizens can gradually be elevated in spiritual perfection. It's not that we rigidly have to be in this bucket or that bucket, and that's it. are as Vaishnavas, not so, certainly it's not so rigid. And, but there are functions that need, that are distinct, and those distinct functions are important to be recognized and appreciated and respected, and the function and the person performing the function, both. Any discussion? Social order. Yeah.
You touched on something that I think is, of course it's correct, but when I do book distribution, I hear quite frequently that, is this a book about a religion? And I'll immediately say, no, no, it's spiritual. Because if I say it's about a religion, immediately the next statement will be, I don't trust organized religion. And it's because I think, of course not everybody, but some of these things you've alluded to, that there's not a good example, maybe, or in the past there were problems or something. Each person has their own reason for why.
Yeah.
But the general reasons you've clearly outlined. And so so my question to you is then that when we have a world where people are in this mood of, I don't trust organized religion, of course what we're presenting to them is pure, because it's very clear to me that Prabhupada was very pure, so it doesn't take long to see that. But what might be some things to say back, or what, just even, maybe not even, but when we're presenting something about this to someone who may be coming from that ocean of distrust.
Well, here's a comical one. Don't worry, we're not very organized. somebody that had some inside information, like FBI or CIA, wrote, don't worry, you don't have to worry about the Hare Krishna movement, they can't even answer the telephone. and it's true, we know. It depends. You know, and on book distribution is quick exchanges, so there are the book distributors can best guide you in, you know, how do I answer this question. By the way, there is a monthly call in, if Vaisheshika Prabhu understands your willingness, he'll include you in anybody in the room, in a monthly conference call where people that are interested in book distribution, they take different themes and they have kind of general question answer forum, and it's, you know, to support and enlighten one another in book distribution. So that's a natural forum for a question like this to come. On book distribution, you don't have the opportunity for a lengthy response. So it has to be like a one-liner response. To say this is about spirituality, you can say in a longer version, you could say it's not a belief system, it's a science. But how do you say that in book distribution? So you say what you said, but it resonates with persons who say, I want to be spiritual, I don't want to be part of a religious organization. That's not even, you know, organized religion per se. It's just, the distinction is, religion to them means a set of rules, and spirituality means just being spiritual.
Right.
Without, I have to follow this belief system, that belief system, another belief system, and, you know, I don't believe in belief systems, I believe in just being spiritual. So it doesn't exactly connect with their idea of what being spiritual is, but it's more of an accurate sense of what being spiritual is than what they're thinking being spiritual is. Because it's a science of the soul. It's the science of the very foundation of matter and the configurations of matter and the disintegration of those configurations of matter, withdrawal of them and everything. It's the supreme spiritual entity. It's spiritual in the truest sense. It's not just simply dogma or beliefs or laws. I believe in this, and then I change my belief, and we believe in that, and believe in change that, and believe in something else. Not one of those. It's a spiritual science. But to say it succinctly on book distribution, what you said is fine. You know, in your mind, you should know what it is that you're saying. You're not lying, and you're not misleading. Although their sense of what is spiritual may, you don't have time on book distribution to give, a seminar on what is the proper conception of being spiritual and what is a misapplication of the sense of being spiritual. You don't have time for it. But you should, in your mind, you should have a clear idea of. And it is. It's true. This book is not. Bhagavad Gita is not, although it identifies. I tried to say this last night, and a little bit again this morning. But the essence is not the form. The essence is the essence. And when the essence is in proper order, because of material contact, we organize ourselves in an appropriate way according to the modes of nature that we're associated with to facilitate. And in the transcendental stage, one doesn't require those things. One may observe those things for the benefit of others, but one doesn't require those things. Knowing that others, like that's one of Arjuna's arguments, is that, I don't want to do my duty. And Krishna said, well, you don't have the qualification to not do your duty. You must do your duty. And then, well, what if I become liberated? Then I don't have to do my duty. No, when you're liberated, you do your duty because you're setting an example to instruct others. You're still doing your duty. So the purposefulness is to help us get somewhere, and when you get somewhere, the essence, you still do your duty for instructional purposes. But that's, in neither case, is it the essence. Sarva upadhi. So let's say the same thing in a different way. Definition of devotional service from Narada Pancharatra starts with Sarva Upadhi Vinir Muktam Tat Paratvena Nirmalam. We are not these upadhis, the designations of whatever. Kiva Vipra Kiva Nyashi Shudra Keni Noi. Yay Krishna Tattva. So the position that Lord Chaitanya took is My identity is not, I'm a vipra, I'm a learned person, I'm a sannyasi. Although he functioned in that manner, he's very strict as a sannyasi. But that's not the essence. So this is spiritual. This is the essence. There are things that help facilitate the essence. But to facilitate the essence isn't the essence. It's not a book about religion. It's a book. This is spirituality. It's a nice answer. Oh, I feel better now. Let me see what it says.
That was when you were speaking about bulldozing all the different, paraphrasing you, but bulldozing all the different classes into just one sort of, we're all equal now. In a sense, that's the way the United States, our American society, is told the belief that, at least I was, that, yeah, you can do anything you want. And then when I try, it would blow up in my face big time. So I see that as a component of when someone accepts something as an authority, even if it's just theoretical. I always used to hear Prabhupada's lectures, and I would listen. Even if you theoretically accept the deities are Krishna, you're still more advanced than someone who doesn't. Even if it's just theoretical. I think that's what I've heard. You can correct me if I'm wrong. So, like, we meet people that are accepting this different system, the Gita or Krishna, as an authority. But I see that sometimes some Western people struggle because at some point we do have to take some rules or regulations, even if it's just, hey, you can't sit with your back to the deities in the temple because it's offensive.
Yeah, there's 64 of them.
Yeah.
But the essence is not the rule. The essence, it says in Nectar of Devotion, the purpose behind each one of these is one thing. Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. That's the essence. Smartabhyasatatam Vishnu. So, we had a little discussion about, you know, rules yesterday. And if such and such is a rule that bothers somebody, then just don't worry about the rule. Go to the essence. But if one's heart is absorbed in the essence, then they don't have a problem with the rule. But, you know, so I'm not exactly sure what your question is. It's more of a comment that people, you know, have issues. But just for our own... is it our own practical application? How do we help people that have issues?
So I think from my question is, how do you explain to people that, you know, these rules aren't designed just to control your life or manipulate you? Because, well, that feeling may be there from some other religious system or some other spiritual practice where, oh, I saw they did that to me, so now every system is this way. Of course it's not, but...
Well, quite likely, behind that other religious system that where the rule or the standard was abusive, there was quite likely a situation where it came from a pure place and it wasn't abusive. And in its essence, it was supportive of a life in goodness. Likely. Now, so the abusiveness is, you know, how someone uses something, not necessarily the something. And so you're in a reactionary mode towards, you know, I don't want to be controlled by something that's abusive. It's just like being manipulated. And what to speak of, not get the essence, not get the feeling of spirituality. So I'll just be spiritual. So then for such a person, it's, you know, chanting is wonderful. It cleanses, it awakens the spirit of devotion, the coverings are removed, like sprouting a seed, and, you know, the shell that covers the seed gradually softens and falls away, and the life that's inside the seed starts to grow. And then that takes prominence as, you know, the essence takes the prominence. So chant. Prabhupada had people chant without any rules. And then at some point, should we have some rules? Yes, we should have some rules. There's some rules. But the rules aren't the essence. So somebody's struggling with a regular principle. It does not hammer the person with about the principle. It's continue to chant. Whatever, you know, whatever it, some weakness is, continue to chant. Continue to chant. Well, isn't it offensive? Continue to chant. Think, wishing, I'm here, I wish to be there, I'm not envious of the standard, I'm just not there, and I wish to get there. And chanting will help me get there. Keep chanting. Stay with the essence and grow the essence. And then that the standards don't become impediment or like abusive or making me feel guilty or something. It's to help me enter the frame of goodness and the life of purity. It's an asset. It's not a pain or a shame. So it's certainly the way the Prabhupada introduced Krishna consciousness was not rules first. And then when you get the rules down, they'll tell you what the essence is. Something else? Yeah.
As you've been talking about the Varnashrama Dharma and the border and Kali Yuga and so on, I've been sort of thinking about my situation. Mm-hmm. So I'm in the Grihastha Ashram on one hand, but when I look to my sort of work life, I teach, so that seems has to
yes.
be brahminical.
Yes.
I do some administration, so that's more kind of kshatriya.
Sure.
It seems like we're being pushed constantly to be entrepreneurial and all of that now at the university, so that feels like worship. And then there's lots of
things that work too. That feels like it is.
It is.
It's the degradation of the answer is it become and then is a big enterprise.
Right.
Go ahead.
And so, and then of course, you know, especially life in the United States is also very much about menial work too. You have to take care of everything. So, in that kind of situation,
you have many roles,
right?
And you take up each of those roles as a service to Krishna, and you know to be anyway a service to Krishna, and the in part it's. My phrase is the culture of no culture. America is the culture of no culture. Aside from America, it's just our natures are also an interesting composite. Like, you know, I like teaching, but I also do administration. I have to move from teaching to administration easily, like that quickly. And, you know, and assisting of the funding for projects and things. You know, so there are different roles. It's okay. And if one is wants to be, I've seen persons try to be very rigid. Like, I won't pick up the broom because I'm a brahmana. Although, you know, brahmanas are supposed to be clean, right? So how do you stay clean if you don't pick up the broom? Or, anyway, without all the anomalies. As Vaishnavas, our emphasis goes to service to Krishna, and we serve Krishna whatever is required for serving Krishna. My nature is, I like to teach. I find the greatest happiness and energy and strength. And from that, I can do other things. If I don't do that, along with sadhana, I'm crushed. But because I do those things, I can do the other things. Although I don't feel it's my nature. It's more duty, and like some of the things that you may have to do with university, with funding and marketing what you got out over there in the university to the rest of the commercial world and get their money to keep the machine going. That's different than the administration that I have to do. It's something that it would be nice. It's a situation that doesn't exist. A nice situation that doesn't exist. So there's an alternative that some people have, and that's that they just teach at a small college. That's still an option, where you don't have to be a big researcher and go get grants and publish papers and be a donkey. You can just be a teacher. You don't get paid much. You live, you know, the scale of life is simple. It doesn't have all the fizz and you know, sparkle. It's brahminical. And so that's an option for some people. I know some people that are doing that purposefully because they just don't want the other thing. Something else? Anyone? Yes?
This is a related question. So, as you so mentioned that the Varnashram Dharma is divided, that is defined by gunas and karmas.
Yes.
So are they correlated? That means, you know, if some person say is more to a teaching or in a preaching mentalities, is he required to have the same qualities of brahmanas? So can a person can be, you know, by gunas he's defined in a particular class, and by karmas, like, you know, like his duties, he's defined in a different class. But they have to be correlated.
Do you have a specific example in mind? Because my answer is, yes, they have to be correlated. Let's just say, supposing someone's a faculty member that is a womanizer, an alcohol, you know, drinker, and, you know, it speaks vulgar, and they're a professor. It's not, maybe it goes on, but from the Vedic picture, that's not the right situation for that person. Either they have to clean up their act and become according to brahminical quality, or they should have another profession that matches their quality. Maybe a truck driver or something.
Yes.
But so in Kali Yuga everything is all, you know, mixed up. But the Vedic picture is according to one is positioned according to quality, not according to an aspiration. According to quality. I'll give a nice Bhaktivinoda Thakur example in his biography. He describes about his own life. He came from a very wealthy family. Father died when he was young, so other relatives helped in his education and his upbringing. And when he completed his college studies, he was given a post in a business. You know, because he was very capable, very responsible, very intelligent, but he was brahminical. So one of the first things that he did was he saw, by looking at the bookkeeping, that a customer overpaid for something that they received from the company. So he went to the customer and told the customer, "You were overcharged, here's your money back." And the person in charge said, "You have the wrong job. You can't do that. You should become a teacher or something like that. Because in business you don't, it's not one of the rules that you follow." So the Vedic, the Varnashram system is there should be a correlation, although commonly it's all mixed up. And that leaves people dissatisfied. Okay, yeah.
In my experience in that, to add that here in the educational system, it's not correlated.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are some cases that I raise some issues, and then when the responsible person, if the professor who has to act as a professor is not doing his job, I mean, so the higher level position says that, okay, so if he's not performing other behavior, then there is a law that will control, not me as an academician. So. It's not.
You're commenting the same as him, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in the act of this correlation between these different karma is not in a fit to the academic system here.
No. For many reasons. In a word, it's Kali Yuga. But an academic institution should be teaching higher values of life, and that's the function of the persons who are part of that higher learning institution. A person I know, he was a professor at IIT. His question of becoming a tenured professor was challenged. He said, look, he was told, people, your students love you, you do great in the classroom, but that's not what we're interested in. It's two things. You publish, or you bring grants, or both. If you can't do that, we're not going to give you tenure. You have to get the vice program going, not just the teacher program going. So because it's become a business.
Yeah.
It's so buddied up with the enterprise, the consumer economics industry realm, because the industry can then get, without all the analysis, they can get their work done cheaper by a PhD student. So buddy up with the university, you get the same work done at less of money. And that brings money into the university, and yay, the university gets lots of money. We're prestigious because we have all this luck. And look at all these PhD candidates we got. So it adds prestige to the university that, pumps them up. So now we get, it's this contamination of the principle of knowledge. No longer an institution of knowledge, it's an institution of ego.
I mean, the thing is, if you ask what the enlightenment brain is, that dull brain, not the idea.
Yeah.
So there are so many misconceptions that if you bring money, then you are there.
It's really easy to complain about the system. It's a whole other thing to create an alternative. That's the challenge. Something else? Yes?
May I ask a question that's on a totally short question? I'm
quite accustomed to that.
Okay. So, when Lord Jesus was wrapping up his pastimes and he was just about to... the last thing that he said before he was leaving his body, he said something about, oh God, why have you forsaken me? I don't understand that, because since Lord Jesus was a pure devotee, would he not always be with Krishna?
Yeah. Historical accounts of things from historians I don't have confidence in. So I rather than questioning why did he say that, I question, did he say that? Well, here's what Prabhupada said. The idea that Christ suffered and Christ died are both wrong ideas. Because a transcendentalist doesn't experience the pains and pleasures of this world as we experience. That's our reality. Anyway. I agree with you. But it's, my take on it is different. I'm not convinced because some historian wrote it, or the present version of what we have of what Christ said is accurate. To doubt, there's theology in analyzing that one where he was exhibiting his human-like feature. Although he's, you know, in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, I mean, you can go on and on and analyze it and say, he was God, but he was exhibiting his human-like nature, although he was God. And, you know, and expressing in that way. Although he was God. That's one of the things I heard growing up. You hear so many things. So, I'm not even sure who said it. Like, you know, like Haridas Thakur. He didn't go, Lord Chaitanya, why have you let this happen to me? Or Krishna, why have you let this happen to me? It was transcendental. Anyway. Anything else?
So this point that you we're discussing about how everything is, people of different natures and different qualities are part of the body of the Lord, or they perform a function. So in that view, what is the basis of preaching about change of qualities? Like, apparently in the Bhagavad Gita, we're advised to develop qualities like humility and brahmanical qualities.
Yes.
So in that sense, what is the basis? If a person says that this is my quality and I perform this function, then what is the basis of preaching to that person that...
Transcendence is the basis.
Hmm.
We're not... According to guna and karma, we're not stuck. Guna and karma can change. There's elaborate teachings by Krishna to Uddhava in the Uddhava Gita section of how quality can change. And we find by practical experience it changes. One can become elevated, one can become degraded. Largely by association, but there's other factors involved. There's 11 factors involved in what Krishna says to Uddhava. And that's like one frame, or one of many different frames of reference. That the whole of the Bhagavatam teaching is transcendence. By once uttering the holy name, sinful activity, sinful reactions from millions of lifetimes are eradicated. There goes a big chunk of karma. It can change. Or here's another one. Prabhupada, is it okay to see an astrologer or a palmist? Is that okay? And Prabhupada said, you can go to a palmist and he'll read your palms, and you go to Kirtarti and clap your hands in Kirtan, the lines have changed. Your destiny can change, your guna and karma can change by transcendent, by the transcendental touch of Krishna. So then it's a matter of how strong is that transcendental touch, how strong is that connection, and conversely, how much are we attached to our material stuff, our material modes of nature and quality and, you know, things. The strength of this one, the strength of that one. So commonly there's some negotiation going on of how much am I going to invest over here and how much am I going to invest over there. Or this other picture that I described last night, a little bit today, of organizing our lives in such a way that those things that are of the material dimension in our lives, body, mind, and social, they're structured in such a way it's conducive to transcendence. It helps the chanting of Hare Krishna and other direct devotional activities from growing the essence within us, the essence of spirituality, like this other. So commonly we don't go from 0 to 10 like that. We're not cut from the Maharaj. One can, and it's not necessary that time and balancing things is required. But commonly, it's required. And it's proportionate to our affinity for matter. Each, and that can change in the course of our day, what to speak of our life. Okay? The real solution is transcendence. Trigunya Vishaya Veda Nish Trigunya Bhavarjana. Second chapter, Krishna says. The Vedas deal mainly with the three modes of material nature, and specifically Vishaya, the enjoyment found within the three modes of nature. Nish Trigunya Bhavarjana rise above all of them. And then, you know, there's managing the situation. Because, well, we're not ready for transcendence just yet. Okay. Thank you all very much. I wish you so proud of the judge.